Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues, a daily radio broadcast that is designed for issue-oriented discussions. And I pray that you'll join in the dialogue and the discussion today. You can do so, let me remind you, by dialing 401-1413, 904-401-1413. That's the number you can call to jump into the conversation at any time during this broadcast today. But let me remind you, as we face issues, we do so based on the authority of the Word of God. We do so based on the Scripture being the final authority. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth," in John 17:17. And then the Lord Jesus had already told his disciples in John 8:31-32, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So, ladies and gentlemen, it's the word of God that we seek to develop in the hearts and the minds and the lives of the listeners. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, if we're talking about the home, the church, moral issues, social issues, political issues, they're still biblically based, because God created the home, He created government, and He created the church, and in that order. And anything that we discuss in that category should be considered a central biblicist issue. And so as we do, I pray that you'll join in each day. But ladies and gentlemen, may I just bring to the forefront something that is taking place in our nation. Perhaps you've listened to it, watched it on television. You've been concerned about it for some time. I believe that most of those in our nation, in our community, that's concerned about central biblicist truth and concerned about our nation as being a constitutional republic, we're concerned about the shadow government that we're discovering and unpeeling like an onion in Washington. In fact, some of the latest news today from some of the online news sources that I consider conservative, telling us that the FBI is further involved than we believe possible, and that the involvement goes not just to the FBI and some of the DOJ, but all the way to the top through the Obama administration. And as one writer put it, he's been pulling the levers, or some call it the levers, in relationship to the actors and the decisions they've been making with this shadow government. Ladies and gentlemen, I really believe we have a shadow government in force today. Some call it the deep state. And I believe that it is involving many, many, many of those that are in the House and the Senate and in many places of leadership in America. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist that believes that everything is formed out of some shadow government scenario, but I believe we have one in America, and it's designed as an anarchy approach to overthrow our constitutional republic. And I believe it fulfills what the Scripture says in the Timothy text when it talks about the last days will be perilous times. Perilous simply means dark, devastating, difficult, dangerous times. And I believe we're seeing the increasing difficulties and the darkness in our nation and in our state and in our cities across America. There are those that are pushing for what's called the special exceptions in the legislative branches and the local and state governments as well as national. It's called the LGBT movement. And the LGBT movement is simply designed to protect and give extra protection and extra special rights for those that are confused about their sexuality. Then we have the major problem with drugs being introduced across the nation in municipalities, local and state municipalities, where drugs are being introduced. And ladies and gentlemen, we're to have a major, major catastrophic event in America. I believe the statistics tell us that some 76 deaths are taking place every day as a result of the opioid crisis in America. Our government, Our governor, the state of Florida, already had allocated some $50 million, I believe it is, to help fight that. But, ladies and gentlemen, my dilemma is, why do we fight the opioids when we're opening Pandora's box by allowing drugs to be introduced into our society by way of pot shops being cloned, if you will, and being set up on the basis that it's for the dispensing of medical marijuana? Yes, we're having major difficulties, and I think it's time that Christians get the attention of God by praying. We need to pray, seek God's face, humble ourselves before Him, call on His name, turn from our wicked ways, and allow Him to heal our land. Ladies and gentlemen, government is given to us by God. According to Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, government has a responsibility of punishing evil and protecting the good in society. God has given Florida, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I believe God has given us in the state of Florida a few good men and women in the House and the Senate. And I'm thankful that we have on the line for a dialogue and discussion today with us, Florida State Senator Aaron Bean. Senator Bean, tell our folks hello and let's join in this dialogue and discussion today.
A very good morning to you, Dr. Youngblood. I love listening to your opening monologue, and I want to tell all your listeners it was not quite a year ago today where you spent some time with me walking the halls of the legislature and coming to some committee meetings, and I was amazed how up to date you were with all the things going on in Tallahassee, and you and your team have sent me some issues you want to talk about, and nothing's changed. You're still up to speed of all the bills and issues facing Florida and the Florida legislature, which now is, as you know, in the middle of session going on in Tallahassee as we speak.
Yes, in fact, Senator Bean, if you don't mind me giving a good little heads up, and by the way, we didn't coordinate this conversation, but I'm thankful for Senator Bean. I'm thankful for his life, his standard, and his stand on issues, and not fearful to recognize God in the process. I just wanted to say thank you for your stand on that, Senator Bean, what you've meant to me personally and what you mean to our state. But by the way, Senator Bean had some good support team, by the way, there. D. Alexander that holds his hands up and Austin Nicholas that holds his hands up. And I'm thankful for not only those two, but his entire staff that helps him carry out the rigorous schedule that he faces during the legislative session. Senator Bean, if you would be kind enough, just a little, because we want to talk about several specific issues, but take a moment to let our folks know something about the position of the legislative session, how many weeks we've done, how many weeks we have to go, and some of the things that you think are the top things on the burner, as I would call it, that we need to be aware of as Christians and moral ethical citizens in this particular portion of the state of Florida.
Well, you're kind. You are kind. As you know, Florida's Constitution says the legislature shall meet for 60 days each year to do the people's business. So 60 days is 9 weeks. And yesterday was the exact halfway point. We started earlier this year. We started in January, the week after the new year. And it was a fast start as we launched this year. But we're now past the halfway point. This week, both the Senate and House announced their budgets, and we're still hopefully we'll finalize our draft budgets today of how we're going to spend $87 billion in the state of Florida. That's going to be a record. Of course, we now have a record number of people in our state as well. Big issue items. One that I'm working on and that I want to talk about, hopefully if we have a chance to, is our pregnancy support network. That really has a network of pregnancy support centers that focus on, and this is where it gets complicated and gets controversial for many, not on this radio show, but others. It focuses on life, and I'm so happy about that. We have passed the first stage of Senate on second reading and dodged 9 very hostile amendments yesterday, but hopefully today we'll put the icing on the cake. I think the lead, and you've already mentioned it in your monologue, is drugs that are plaguing our society, and it's the opioid epidemic. We overuse the word epidemic, but I think that's the only thing that faces it as as dozens of people die every day in our country, and a big number of that is in the state of Florida, opioids. And we have to look, and this is not an easy topic when you talk to medical personnel, because these are legal drugs that are being abused by the public. And I think the legislature is going to make a move this year to tighten rules around them, limiting the supply, as well as increasing the time doctors need to train that write these types of drugs to let them realize the devastation that can be caused by addiction, by abuse, the death. So that's something that's raging in the debate in Tallahassee as we go forward.
Senator Bean, I am thankful that you mentioned that, because that's one of my hot button topics. And by the way, I just read hot off the press, the news article says lawmakers poised to pass pregnancy support measure, Dateline Tallahassee, and it deals with the focus of the House Bill 41. And I'm thankful to read what's been done on that and the status of it, and look forward to some good reports in the near future in relationship to it being passed and placed on the governor's desk for signing, because I think it's a very, very needful legislative act to protect the unborn, to protect life in the state of Florida. And I'm saddened when I read some statistics about what's happening on some a national level, where there is a higher and higher focus on trying to prevent any laws like this from taking place. And those that do that, ladies and gentlemen, I think are just simply disengaged with the reality of life and what life is about. But Senator Bean, you mentioned something then about the opioids. Let me just open Pandora's box for a minute. Back in 2015 and 16, there was a bill that was passed in Tallahassee. It's become law, and it's for legalized marijuana for the medical use, medical marijuana legalization. And you and I had talked about it back in that era, and you were part of the process in getting that passed so that we would have some protection with what would then later become, against what is later now become, that referendum that was passed last year. And it was the referendum for legalizing medical marijuana, but from a different sense. And I believe that is in the House and the Senate, with the potential of some enabling legislation this year. And I'm concerned about what's happening, because just for a very, very brief overview for your edification, if you're not familiar with it, then you can speak to that issue. I have in my hands a document from sunbiz.org, where there's an organization that has already started in the state of Florida called Compassionate Care Centers of America Foundation. They've set up 16 LLCs just in the state of Florida. Actually, they're under one name, 16, but about 20 or 22 different names, where they're already primed and ready to open what I'm calling pot shops on every street corner under the guise that it's for medical marijuana. Tell our listeners something. What is the difference between what was passed in 2016 with real medical marijuana and what this referendum is going to do?
Well, first of all, let's be clear. I remember vividly being on this radio show, and you and I both were urging people to vote no on that referendum, because we both talked about what a dangerous drug marijuana can be, especially in adolescent teens, just the studies I've read that it severely limits brain development in teens, and then it just destroys motivation, and everybody wants to overlook that. So you and I called a pig a pig back then. But state of Florida, 71% said go forward with it. So the legislature implemented laws surrounding it. And one thing the legislature did that's now coming up, and it's the subject of a major lawsuit going on right now, the legislature, okay, Florida, we will acknowledge there are medical purposes of marijuana. We set up a framework trying to really only allow those that are sick with the condition, that have a prescription to have that drug. And then the legislature said, you could have that drug any way you want it, except smoking, because we couldn't find any other medicine that is smoked. So take it in a pill form, in oil or lotion, whatever you want, but no smoking. And of course, the attorney that that was the force behind pushing that is already said that's, you know, we're taking you to law, to the courtroom, because that's not what we intended. We want to be able to smoke our marijuana. So that's still subject to a debate. There's still a framework, too, where we've set up a framework, but there's so much money and every rule is challenged. It's been very slow. And lately, a lot of legislators are criticizing the Department of Compassionate Care, which oversees the medical marijuana. But we're treading lightly, and I guess it's better to move slow. We try to give as much deference to local governments as possible and the locations of these dispensary centers. We've said that they don't need to look like a pot shop. They need to look like a pharmacy because it's medicine. It's not a what other folks will have it be. It's a delicate situation, and hopefully we'll see where we land. We also have a wild card, which is the federal government says, hey, wait a minute, this is still yes. an illegal drug with the federal eyes. Now, there is, as you mentioned, a new wave of people that are gathering signatures all the time to put a lot of things on the ballot. And there is a faction of our population that wants recreational use of marijuana, which was a fear all along that if we took a step in this direction of medicine, then the next step is a full legalization of it. Other states have done that, and I fear that would be a bad step for our state.
As the absolutely, Senator Bean, I'm thankful to hear your deliberate communication in reference to where we're going with that. One of the things that we found is, as the old cliche, and you've heard it, is the camel just wants to get the nose in the tent, and then the camel gets in the tent. And every other state that's introduced medical marijuana ultimately wound up with recreational marijuana. And the statistics on that for the harm and danger and damage for the homes and the families and for teenagers and for preteens and kids is just absolutely alarming. But one of the things I need to ask in relationship to that, Senator, to tell our audience, because I've been in communication with some of our legislators locally, and I have gotten mixed readouts from them in relationship to what local legislative bodies, i.e. our city council, can do. One of the city council members says, our hands are tied, we're being dictated to and mandated by the state, and we can do nothing but just simply what the state tells us to do. Had another one of our legislators, city councilman, that said that, well, the only thing that we can do is legislate based on what zonings they can go into. But yet I have another saying that there is an opt-out provision from the state level that the local municipalities can opt out and simply say, we're not going to dispense medical marijuana in our county. Tell me, clarify that for our listeners.
I think all of which are true. There is an opt-out feature. If the county doesn't want to be a home to any dispensaries, they can. They can say no. And then, should they say yes, then they can help regulate the locations according to zoning. So you nailed it on two spots, Dr. Youngblood.
All right. Then this is a trickle-down question that is a fallout from that. One of our legislators, city council member, said that if we opt out, then we must close all drug stores in the city of Jacksonville.
No, under my knowledge, no, that would be incorrect. There's an opt-out for dispensaries. It would be very difficult. I'll just be honest, very difficult for a bigger city like Jacksonville to say no. That would be tough. But the city of Baldwin, I think they would have an easier time. But other smaller cities, easier, smaller counties, it's just tough. There's a greater faction of the cities that are demanding access to medical marijuana. So they would have a tougher time. But they do have that option, but I think Jacksonville's already decided that they're going to say yes to these dispensaries.
Well, one of our legislators locally also had the whining, bemoaning sense that said, well, what's the point in us trying to do anything to regulate it? Just let it come on in. State's not going to let us have any of the money anyway. It's all going to the state. So it looks like some of our legislators are looking at it simply from a dollars and cents standpoint of what can produce more dollars in revenue for the city rather than what protects our families and our boys and girls and our homes and protects the future of our city.
Yeah. You know, right now, marijuana is really not the state of Florida is not planning on on it being a cash cow or a moneymaker. It's really designed just to be a medicine, and so it's not. Now, the purveyors of recreational point to these other states that have, you know, millions and billions of dollars coming in from the tax on recreational. But again, we are blessed to have a very strong economy. Neither that drug nor gambling, the gambling interest, as you know from your ear previously, they are continually walking the halls saying all of the billions of dollars that could come if we were to expand gambling. We already have enough gambling already. But again, other states are, I call it selling your economic soul for gambling. Florida is blessed with a vibrant tourism industry, a record number of tourists last year. I just think that's a wrong direction to go in. You know, because you've talked about it on the show, how devastating gambling can be to individuals and to families.
Absolutely. Between the drugs and the gambling, with the two of those coming into any state, it literally demoralizes and destroys the warp and the woof of a family network scenario, and it opens Pandora's box for the law enforcement to try to handle it, the issues that are born out of that. But Senator Bean, let me move quickly. There are so many things I'd like for us to talk about, and 30 minutes just gets away from us before we know it. But Senate Bill 1290, which is the sister bill to House Bill 871, the Free Enterprise Protection Act. Tell us the status of that and the movement in the House and the Senate on that issue.
You know what? Give me just a moment. As you know, last year there were over 3,052 bills introduced between the House and the and the Senate, and so keeping up with everything, and every day some move, some don't move. That bill has not been heard, and as you know, more bills are killed not with a no vote, but just by never being placed on an agenda. And that's the power of being a chairman. As chairman of individual committees, get to select their what bills they're going to hear and what bills they won't hear. And it's by not hearing a bill, you are killing it. That is I know our own Jacksonville Representative Jay Fant is sponsoring that in the House, and our good friend Senator Baxley is championing that cause in the Senate, and sadly, neither House has had a hearing on that bill at all.
Well, it's my prayer that some way, somehow, God will move on the leadership role in the House and the Senate to pull it out of mothballs and allow that to be heard and the voice vote on that.
And what do you tell your listener? I mean, it's a freedom of religion bill, freedom of expression bill that says these businesses that can be unfairly targeted because of their religious beliefs can't be forced to do anything. We've heard some sad stories across America of a business that shouldn't be forced to do anything against their will. And we're not talking about discrimination. We're talking about forcing people against their religious beliefs.
Well, I'm so thankful, Senator Bean, that some issues very similar to the Senate Bill 1290 and House Bill 871, the appeals court in fact, I believe it was Supreme Court in the state of Mississippi and also in Missouri, have ruled in favor of bills very similar to this that puts it in a position that it does not force a Christian cake baker, a Christian videographer, or those in the wedding planning business and other businesses as Christians. It does not force them to go against their biblical Christian godlike conscience to do that which is ungodly and unholy. So it's my prayer that something will move on that. And ladies and gentlemen, may I remind you, you can call in at 401-1413 if you have a question for Senator Bean or something that you need to discuss, would like to jump in this dialogue and discussion. Senator, there's a couple of other quick things that I want to run by you, and that is Senate Bill 189, which is the dismemberment abortion bill that prohibits the dismemberment in abortion process. What is the status? Has that been heard? Is it in committee? What is your view
on
that
bill?
First of
all, for our members, that is exactly, the bill is exactly as it's described. It's a horrible, abortion is horrible anyway, but some abortions that are are just a cutting instrument is inserted, and that's how the fetus is killed by just cut. It's horrible. It's a horrible process. Good news on that too. It's passed in the House. It's passed two of its committees of reference, which is meaning people are talking about it. Sadly, it has not gotten any hearing in the Senate. Debbie Mayfield is pushing that in the Senate. Hasn't got there, but that's a big start. Abortion bills usually take 4 or 5 years to percolate, and so that is has launched and probably will not pass this year. But the discussion has started on what a horrible process that is.
Well, I'm thankful for that, and I'm thankful for you and for your stand. Let me just ask a very personal question. I pray that it's not in, how would you say, opening Pandora's box of where you do not want to go. But I don't think that you have been in any meeting that I've ever seen you in. I don't think you've ever been embarrassed by letting the world know that you place God first and foremost in your decisions. Just tell our listening audience, what part do you think God plays in your decision, your determination, your votes, and your leadership roles in the Senate?
Well, I mean, I'm a you know, God family is foremost, and that's the way I was brought up. That's the way I'm teaching my three sons as well. I am grateful to God and grateful to the people to be able to serve. I'm only as good as the information given to me, which is why it's important that you are doing research and studying and saying, Bean, we need you here or don't need you there, which is why any listener out there, if you have a relationship or should get a relationship not only with God but also with your elected official, to let them know that your values are important and every decision they make is important and that we're watching everything they do. It's important.
Senator Bean, we've got about 1 minute left. Would you speak to our listening audience, challenging them, first of all, to pray, secondly, to become involved, and to let our legislators, House and the Senate, let our legislators know where we stand, what we're wanting them to do as our representatives in Tallahassee. Take a few moments, just talk with our audience.
Well, thank you. And first of all, Dr. Youngblood, it is always a treat to talk to you, and it's always a treat when I do get to listen to your show. I'm always amazed at where you are. But listen, you've nailed it. There is a constant battle going on of good versus evil. It happens in the Florida legislature. It happens in our state, in our nation's capital, which is why as Christians, as believers, we all have to stay engaged. Our vote matters. Who we send to represent us truly matters. We see certain decisions. Yeah, they're votes we see, but we don't see the hundreds of decisions that they make behind the scenes. So that's why it's important to really look under the hood and send people of faith, of people we can trust to represent us, not only in Tallahassee, but in Washington, D.C.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Senator Bean, for being with us today. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on the air today. We're looking forward to joining you again tomorrow, once again, as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal, Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.